The Sicha for Parshas Kedoshim is in Chelek Aleph, the first volume of Likutei Sichos. The first three commandments in the Parsha of Kedoshim are Kedoshim Tihiyu, you should be holy. Number two, Ish Imei V'Aviv Tiro, every man must fear his mother and his father. And number three, observe the Shabbos. Observe my Shabbos, God says. And in Torah, since everything is perfect, we must assume that there is a connection between these three things when they are stated together in a sequence in the Torah. Kedusha means separation. As it says in the end of the Parsha, it says, "Heyisem li kedeshim, you will be to me a holy nation, va'avdil eschem min ha'amin, and you will be separated from the other nations," which means that Jews have to be different from other nations. As it says, "V'niflinu ani v'amcha mikol ha'om asher apnei ha'adama." Moshe says, I and your people will be different from all the other nations of the world. Now this separation, this difference, is necessary in those areas in which there are some similarities. So the statement, Kedeshim Tiyu, that you should be different, refers to being different in those areas in which we could be the same. So when it comes to mitzvahs, to Torah and mitzvahs, we can't say that a Jew should be different from a non-Jew by doing the mitzvah, by putting on tefillin. Because the non-Jew has no such commandment, and therefore there's no similarity in the obligation to the commandment, for the commandment, there's no similarity that God would have to tell us to be different. Because the mitzvahs are given. Magid Vorov Li Yaakov, God gives his commandments to Yaakov, and not to other nations. So why the need to be told to be different? It must mean that we should be different in those things that are common to all people. Eating, drinking, business, and so on. So although on the surface everyone does this the same, yet here we are told that even in those areas, in the eating, drinking, and the business, and so on, we should be unique and different. How can it be that in a time of Golus, in a time of such darkness, where holiness is so difficult to come by, how can it be that we should be holy even in areas that are not mitzvahs? So the answer to this is, as it says further in the pasuk, "Ki kodesh oni," you should be holy, God says, because I am holy. That a Jew, wherever and whenever the Jew exists, he is bound up with God himself. And of God we say, "Ata kodesh," God is holy, and that's why we, being his people, also have to be holy. To the point where we can actually say, the Gemara says, we should be holy like God. Does that mean literally like God? And the Gemara explains how we should be holy. But the Rebbe is saying that, yes, we can be literally the same holiness as that of God, because that's where our holiness comes from. So that's the commandment, to be holy, Kedeshim Tiyu. After that comes the commandment to fear your mother and father, because the ultimate purpose is not for the Jew to personally remain holy or become holy, but rather that he has to influence others as well, his children and his family. As with Avraham, God says, "I chose Avraham because he will instruct his children and they will go in the way of God." And that's why the second commandment follows, Ish Imei V'Aviv Tiro, which suggests the idea of chinuch, of education and transmitting of Torah from generation to generation. The earliest educators that a person has are his mother and father. Because the parents, the mother and the father, have to instill in the child this feeling that we are different, and that we belong to a unique and holy people. And the Torah says mother first and then father, because the mother is the primary educator and sets the tone for the entire home. Then the question becomes, how do we do this? How do we instill in others, in our children, as well as in ourselves, how do we instill this feeling of v'niflinu ani v'yamcha, this uniqueness, this specialness of being a Jew? And that's where the third commandment comes, et shabseisai tishmeru, that we should keep God's Shabbos. Shabbos is a mitzvah from among the category of mitzvahs that are called edus, or signs. Shabbos is a sign, and it testifies to the fact that God created the world. And by keeping Shabbos, we strengthen our emunah in the fact that the world is created constantly by God, and that it doesn't have an existence of its own. And in this also, Jews are unique and different from all other nations. All other nations believe that God created the world, but then gave the world away to the forces of nature, to the stars and planets and so on, and now it is the law of nature that guides the world and that conducts and causes the events of the world. Ozav Hashem es ha'oretz b'yad kichavim u'mazolis, they say. God left the world in the care of the forces of nature. But Jews, through their emunah, remain connected directly to God, skipping, bypassing the laws of nature. And Jews don't take the laws of nature too seriously, and are not intimidated by the laws of nature, as are other nations. And that is the difference between Shabbos and weekdays, Shabbos and the 6 days of the week, in that concerning the 6 days of the week, in the creation of the world, the Torah mentions 32 times God's name, the name Elohim, which refers to God in nature. That's why the numerical equivalent of Elohim is the word Hateva, the nature. But Shabbos is Shabbos LaHashem, not Elohim, but Shabbos LaHashem. And Hashem refers to that part of God that doesn't engage in creation, that doesn't involve itself or limit itself to nature. And this Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos, is given only to Jews and not to other nations, where in fact a non-Jew who observes Shabbos is actually sinning, because the connection, the relationship that the nations of the world have with God is through the name Elohim, which is nature, and not Shabbos, which is the name Hashem, which is above nature. There's also a suggestion in Shabbos, a reminder of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of coming out of the limitations and restrictions of nature. And it is through the observance of Shabbos, by observing this sign which connects Jews with God in a unique fashion, different from all other nations, above and beyond nature, by strengthening this emunah, we become independent of nature and depend directly on the Hashgacha Pratis from God Himself. And through this, we are able to bring that an influence on our children, that they too should feel that they belong to a holy people. That even in their physical affairs, even in their eating, drinking, and business, they express a holiness and a separateness, because their strength, the strength of their emunah, binds them to holiness, to the holiness of God, even when they're engaged in physical activity. And as he goes on to say further in the parsha, es shabseisai tishmeru u migdoshai tirau, God puts together the commandment of Shabbos and the respect for the Beis HaMikdash. Samach Shabbos LeMikdash, and by mentioning Shabbos together with the Mikdash, that's where we learn which activities, which labors are prohibited on Shabbos. All those labors necessary in the building of a Mishkan or Mikdash, those are the things that are prohibited on Shabbos. But the Rebbe says that through the observance of the Shabbos, we have the effect on the world that everything in the world becomes like the Mishkan and like the Mikdash, it becomes a dwelling place for God. As we said before, the idea of Kedusha means separation, even in those areas in which we are similar to other nations. In our physical activity, there we need to be different, separate, and holy. So this is also the meaning of what it says further in the Parsha, that there are two instructions. V'hiskadishtem v'hiyisam kedeshim. You should sanctify yourself and you should be holy. And from this we learn, kadesh atzmecha b'mutalach, that we make ourselves holy by refraining from that which is permissible. Even that which is permissible, that which is kosher, but not necessarily a mitzvah, even there we have to find and instill holiness, as it says, b'chol drachecha da'eil. And that is the meaning of know him in all your ways, meaning in your ways, in the activities that God does not command or obligate you to do. In those things you should also find the holiness and the godliness. Now this commandment to sanctify ourselves with what is permissible, in the areas that are permissible, is not any different than any other mitzvah. It's not merely going beyond the letter of the law, but is itself a mitzvah as all other mitzvahs. And concerning all mitzvahs, it says, Al tehe yeshev v'sheikel, you should not try to measure the significance of mitzvahs. Kalo shebekalis, v'chamura shebechamura shavim. What may appear to be the simplest, the most insignificant of mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs that appear to be the most significant and the most important, they are really ultimately all equal. And therefore, concerning the mitzvah of sanctifying yourself with what is permissible, this mitzvah has the same power and the same authority and the same importance as all other mitzvahs. In fact, according to Hasidus, this avodah, serving God by sanctifying ourselves in the permissible, is particularly relevant and important to the bringing of the geula, of the coming of Mashiach. Studying Torah and doing mitzvahs and being careful to avoid things that are prohibited, all of this is not enough to bring the geula, to bring the redemption. What is necessary is to sanctify ourselves in the permissible. The Gemara says, "Asidin tzadikim she'emrim lifneihem kodesh," that in the future, tzadikim will be called kodesh, holy, kederach she'emrim lifneihem kodesh baruch. Just as we now refer to God or address God as holy, in the time to come, tzadikim will be addressed that way. Which means that all the revelations that will come in the times of Mashiach, all the godliness and holiness that will be revealed then, all depend on how we serve God today. And that the holiness and the revelations then will be the result of Ma'aseinu v'Avedaseinu Achshav, our deeds and our service in the time of Golus. So this godliness that is described here in the Gemara, that in the future tzaddikim, and this means all Jews, because all Jews are called tzaddikim, that all Jews will be addressed, will be described as holy. This is the end result that will come in the end of days. So it must be that we prepare for that, and we pave the road for that by being holy even before Mashiach comes, and that is the holiness in what is permissible. To understand this better, there's a general principle and rule in the world, in creation, that the higher the godliness, the higher the degree of holiness, the more significant every detail becomes. As it says, Svivav Nishar HaMe'ed, that those around God are measured very strictly, are judged very, very strictly. That even even a single hair that is out of place or that is wrong for a tzaddik is a great violation. Because the holier you are, the more the detail counts. And as we find in the mitzvah of Milah, that Avraham was told to circumcise himself in order for God to be able to reveal himself through the name Shaddai. But then by Matan Torah, when God says, until now I have revealed only my name Shaddai, but now I'm going to reveal my name Hashem. And for this, you need a preparation, and that is to circumcise again all those who were born in Egypt. And this refers to a removal of an even more subtle evil, a more thorough circumcision, in order to be able to receive a higher godliness. And so it is before the coming of Mashiach. It says that God will remove the uncircumcised heart, which is the most subtle of unholinesses, in order to be able to receive the godliness that will be revealed with the coming of Mashiach, which is even higher than that which was revealed at the giving of the Torah. So generally speaking, the revelation that will come with the coming of Mashiach is the revelation of God himself. And this is the idea of making a dwelling place for God, Dira lo yizbarech, a dwelling place is the place where a king, for example, comes and is himself. The house, the home, the dwelling place is not a place that serves a particular function. The king doesn't go to his home in order to do a particular service or a particular act. It's where he simply is. That is his place. In the palace, there are rooms for every occasion. This is where he greets guests, and this is where he passes laws, and this is where he meets with his ministers, and so on. So each room has a function, serves a function. But a home is not for any particular function. A home is where he belongs, and that means that his essence can be revealed there, and not only his functions. So by sanctifying that which is permissible, making ourselves holy even in the areas that are permissible, this is the preparation to prepare the world to make it a dwelling place for God himself, and not only for a godly function. So when we do this, in order to bring about this dwelling place for God, then the service and the person who's doing the service have to be in such a way that they refer or that they address the essence of God. And that is accomplished, as we'll explain later, by sanctifying yourself in the permissible. Because if you're doing a mitzvah, if you're fulfilling a commandment, then it is a particular function. Whereas if you sanctify yourself in areas that are not commandments, then it is yourself. It is the essence that is being sanctified, which reflects the essence of God being comfortable in this world, a dwelling place for God. What is accomplished by sanctifying yourself in the permissible, what is accomplished in the person who is doing this Aveda is as follows. In keeping mitzvahs, in observing Torah and mitzvahs, it is possible that a person studies the Torah and observes the commandment, and yet he himself remains something separate and distinct from the mitzvah. It's just that God commands and, in a sense, forces the person to comply with God's will, but the person's will remains different and separate from God. In such an instance, the effect of the mitzvah is only on that part of the soul that performs the mitzvah. In other words, the function of the soul. But when a person sanctifies himself, even in that which is permissible, in his own affairs, in his own activities, even there he behaves in a holy fashion, this means that even his own affairs he doesn't own. He doesn't claim them as his own. He knows that even in these things he has to abide by the dictates of holiness and not by his own dictates. And so this reaches his very essence of his neshama, the essence of who he is. And that is also the meaning of you shall be holy. Just as the Mechilta says on the Pasuk, V'hiyisam li segula, you will be chosen. So the Mechilta says, what does it mean to be chosen? It means, Shatihiyu knuyim li, you will belong to me. And that means that you will devote yourself to the study of Torah and not to worldly affairs. So, in this way, when a person devotes even his worldly affairs to the service of God, and even there finds the holiness or introduces holiness, even that which is permissible becomes holy, then he belongs to God completely. His entire existence is one of godliness. And by serving God with his essence, with his very being, with who he is, this elicits from God also a response from God's essence. And that is the meaning of the Gemara mentioned before, that in the future tzaddikim will be referred to with the word Kodesh, just as God is referred to with the word Kodesh. Now, what effect does this have in the Aveda itself? Not in the person, but in the type of Aveda, of sanctifying yourself in the permissible. So the Rebbe says that in the giving of the Torah, we attain the higher level. In the receiving of the Torah, we attain the higher level of holiness in our mitzvahs than that of the patriarchs of the Aves who fulfilled mitzvahs before the Torah was given, because they fulfilled mitzvahs in the spiritual, and after the giving of the Torah we were able to fulfill mitzvahs and serve God in the physical. And the reason for that is given, explained in Chassidus, that when the Aves observe the mitzvahs, their mitzvah reached, the holiness reached only the source of creation. In other words, that part of God that is the source of all creation. And the source of all creation, creation being limited, the source of all creation also has a certain limitation. And therefore, in the spiritual, there is a greater capacity for containing this holiness than in the physical. But once God gave the Torah, and the Torah begins, or the Ten Commandments begin with Anochi, Anon Nafshi Ksavis Yehavis, I give you my soul in writing, that God gave himself, not his ability to create the worlds, but his essence and himself, he gave that to us in the Torah and in the mitzvahs. Now, in view relative to the essence of God that is revealed in the Torah, here the spiritual and the physical become completely neutralized. They are equally insignificant, and the spiritual is not in any way better or more capable of containing God himself than is the physical. And in fact, the physical has an advantage over the spiritual, in that the higher something is, the lower it comes. So the essence of God, being the highest of the high, expresses itself better in the physical because it is the lowest of the low. And yet, even after the giving of the Teva, there are still some limits. The limits of Teva itself, that God expresses himself through mitzvahs and not through other ways. And that's why it's a mitzvah. There's a halacha that you're supposed to stand up in the presence of a person who excels in the performance of mitzvahs, because God dwells and is clothed in their soul when they are doing the mitzvah. So we see that it's only in the person doing the mitzvah. But a person doing things that are not mitzvahs, here we don't stand up for them because we don't see the godliness there. But in the time to come, in the future, with the coming of Mashiach, when the world will have reached its ultimate perfection and God himself, the essence of God, will be revealed, then there can be no such distinction and no such restriction. Godliness will be expressed everywhere, not only in mitzvahs. And then we will see with our eyes, we will see that there is no place devoid of him, and Ein Eid Milvade, there is nothing besides him. To make this even clearer, the Zohar says that there are three levels. There's there's God and Torah and Jews, and each of them has a revealed part and a hidden part. In God, the revealed part is the godliness that creates the world and that is involved with the world, from which the laws of nature or the conduct of nature is derived. The hidden part of God is that part of God that is higher than creation, not involved in nature, and not expressed through nature, but rather through miracles that overrule nature. On an even deeper level, we could say that the miracles are also part of the revealed holiness of God. Because although it is higher than the world, yet it affects the world and it deals with the world. Only it cancels the law of nature, and the world is led in a miraculous way. But it still is related to the world. So the hidden part of God would then be those miracles that are not obvious and not revealed, but are clothed in nature. And that's when we say about the time of Golus, Ein Bal Hanes Makir Benisei, that the person for whom God performs a miracle does not even recognize his miracle. Because the miracle is so high, so much higher than the world, that it doesn't even interfere with the conduct of the world. And this is what is meant in the pasuk that says, Eisa Nefloyis Levadi, which means that he performs miracles that only he himself knows. When Mashiach comes, these miracles that only God knows will be revealed. As it says, Azenu Neflois. Azenu means we will see. Because Azenu, I will show you, I, God himself, I will show you the miracles. And it says in the pasuk, the word ze appears in the pasuk twice. And it's referring to the time to come. It is referring to the coming of Mashiach. Because by Kriyas Yamsuf, by the splitting of the sea, it only says Zeh once. It says Zeh Keli Va'anzehu. So the Jews only said Zeh once. Because the miracles that interrupt nature, like the splitting of the sea, is not the highest revelation, but has its own restrictions and its own limits. The level of twice zeh, that will be revealed with the coming of Mashiach, and that is the revelation of the hidden miracles. And so it is also now that the revelation of godliness, which came after Matan Torah, that expresses itself in the study of Torah and in the mitzvahs, but not in the world itself, not in the permissible worldly affairs. And that's why it doesn't show, the godliness doesn't show unless the laws of nature are interrupted. But in the godliness that is hidden, the holiness that is hidden in nature, that will be revealed in the future as a result of our making ourselves holy in our physical affairs.